Talking now with Gloucester Deputy Fire Chief Tom LaGrande. And Deputy, kind of an unusual Sunday morning for the Gloucester Fire Department. Maybe you can take me through the kind of relaxing day that you guys have had.
Yeah, it's a busy day. What is it, about 1:30? I got in the building shortly ago. We've had quite an unusually busy Sunday morning. So initially it started around 7:20, 7:30. I don't have the exact times in front of me. We're doing the reports now. But we received a call for a man in the water off of I-2C4. I was right there in the vicinity. I was driving into the station. So fortunately, when I arrived there, it was quick to ascertain that the gentleman did in fact fall in the water but was able to climb back aboard his boat as it was drifting away. He motored the boat back. We helped him tie up his boat. We had the ambulance crew just check him out, make sure he was okay. Just cold, didn't have any other complaints. So that was fortunate. I hope they also.
Let me interrupt you here. The water is pretty cold. I mean, you can't stay in that water too long, but obviously he just kind of dunked it and came right out.
Yes. He stated he was tying up the boat. He slipped and fell in as the boat was drifting. He was able to grab a piece of the line that was in the water, pull himself back to the boat, and then managed to climb aboard.
Yes, lucky. Okay.
I'm sure the cold water was helping him try to figure a way out of there.
Yeah.
He was out of the water before he succumbed to hypothermia, where you get to the point where you can't physically move. So.
Yeah. And that doesn't take long, does it, Deputy? Because you're familiar with the fishing waters, but it's this time of year, it happens pretty quickly.
Yes, it does. It's a matter of minutes. You start to lose the mobility in your extremities. You know, the first thing, like anybody knows, when they're shoveling snow and their hands get cold.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine that exponentially, and now it's your whole body. So it starts out with your extremities, but obviously it gets to your core. But fortunately for him, he was able to get out of the water, get into his pilot house and get his wet clothes off, and we just assisted him that way. And he was okay, a little shaken up and a little bit cold, but other than that, he seemed to be okay.
Okay, so that's one in the plus box. What else happened?
So while I was still there talking with the gentleman and the owner of the vessel, we received a call for a fire, a commercial fire, at the laundry on Main Street. So when I arrived there, we could see there was smoke that was venting from the back of the building where the dryer vents come out. And one of the dryers, I walked in there, there was smoke was starting to accumulate and bank down inside the structure. There was a dryer that was pretty well going on the inside.
So again, in terms of preventative measures, which the chief is always talking to us about, obviously I don't know that you know the cause or not, but one thing we should be aware of is those old heating elements and lint type things with home dryers.
Yes, that's a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up, Rip. Yeah, we haven't determined the cause yet. We're still investigating that, but that is definitely a factor in a lot of dryer fires that are in residential buildings and stuff like that. It's one of the things, it's appliance we use every day, so we're comfortable with it, but we're not always aware of the hazard that it presents. So you have, everyone hopefully should be cleaning out their lint trap every time that they wash a load of clothes and dry the load of clothes. But there's also a little bit of lint that builds up around the inside of the unit every time you use it. So we would advise people, if you can do it, if not, get someone that can service it for you and follow the manufacturer's instructions. But you will find lint that will build up inside the unit. And oftentimes that's if you're not cleaning the screen properly or cleaning the ductwork properly. We've had You get quite a few fires like that. It doesn't take much of a spark to get lint going.
All right. Thank you for that advice. And then I was able to get up to New Way Lane this morning to see you guys up there. Tell me about that situation, please.
All right. So the area, it's one of the more rural areas in West Gloucester. This particular property was a little bit of difficult access getting some of our apparatus up in there. So we actually weren't able to get our ladder truck up that far in. Not that for this type of fire, the building was pretty well consumed by the time we got there. It was just the frame of the building was standing, so it was fully involved in fire. A lot of it was already burned away. But we did do, obviously I live up in that area, so I have a knowledge of the area. We had called Essex. They have a tanker truck, a water tanker truck. We have fires in areas like that that are very far away from any of the city fire hydrants. Water supply becomes an issue. And on the way, I called for them to be dispatched because I didn't know how big a structure we were going to find or what we were going to find when we got there. So that actually helped us out. We carry about 750 gallons of water on each of our fire trucks. But when you have a structure that's well involved with fire, you can go through that water pretty quickly. So that was a big help. We had Rockport showed up. Obviously, we had this fire was at the same time as the fire on Main Street. We had that fire under control. I passed command to one of the other deputies, so they were finishing up the mop-up phase, if you will. They were picking up, they were conducting investigation, make sure there wasn't any extension of fire, and then I ran over to the New Way Lane fire. So we had a couple of our units. We had our Bayview and our Magnolia units that were in the city covering for the other fire respond to that, and we had Rockport send an engine as well as the Essex tanker truck.
Yeah, I saw some of my familiar friends in Rockport gear today. How fast do you go through the tanker water, deputy? You know, you talked about 750 gallons in a couple of trucks. Does that get used up pretty quickly too from a tanker?
So yeah, the tanker, I don't know the exact capacity of their tanker, but I believe it carries at least three times the amount that we can carry in one of our trucks. So I'm guessing somewhere around a couple thousand, give or take, gallons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running a regular hand line that we'd use at a house fire, which is an inch and three-quarter inch hand line, you can go through a tank of water. If you're judicious with it in your application, it can last you, 5 to 10 minutes. When we have bigger fires where we pull bigger lines off, which is like a 2.5 inch, you can go through with 750 gallons of water in a matter of 2 to 3 minutes.
Good heavens. Okay. Oh, my.
Yeah, so especially like that, when water supply is an issue, we're very cognizant of what we need to apply the water on and what we need to save the water for. So for this instance, the building itself was a total loss when we got there. Like I said, it was just the frame of the building standard. However, where this was a rural area, there's a lot of brush right up adjacent to the building.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brush fire that was going on around three sides of the building.
Hey, how serious is that? I'm sorry for interrupting. How serious is that right now where it's been so dry last few days?
It typically isn't this time of year, but we just had a brush fire that was almost 6 acres that burned Friday night and Saturday morning.
Well, I didn't know that.
Which is, that was up by the soccer field, the old dump.
Yep.
That woods between there and Kennedy Drive, for this time of year, that's a pretty big brush fire. It was in the middle of the night. There was a hilly terrain, so there was a prison and his own challenges, but they were able to knock that fire down. We were working that night as well.
Right. I know that you're still investigating and still putting things together. But there was one person was hurt. Do you know if that person was taken to the hospital or not?
The person was checked out by the crews on scene, as well as Beauport sent an ambulance up there to stand by for us.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with the crew from the ambulance company, that person, they refused any medical attention.
Okay.
So they were checked out. They signed the release form, and they denied any medical treatment at the scene.
Oh my goodness. And no firefighters hurt in all of this stuff that happened today?
No, fortunately today nobody was injured, which is good. I just want to put a shout out to Rockport and Essex Fire that helped us out today, and all they've been here a lot. They're there when we need them, and we're there when they need us.
Yeah, that's great. And extra effort to get up into the woods like that. So great job. I'm sure you guys are confident in the way that you handled it as best you could, considering that you got there when you did, when it was called in. So all being said and done, you guys have all had a busy day.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping that that the tide will change on that now.
All right. That is Deputy Fire Chief Tom LaGrande in the city of Gloucester. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.